show. I am Tamara Cherry in for Evan all week as he does, as he enjoys, hopefully. I hope he's enjoying some much deserved time off. All right. Well, if you've had a family member in the hospital, particularly in the ICU, there's one word in particular that you never want to hear, and that is sepsis. This is something so many families can relate to, hearing that census. It is one of the most urgent medical challenges in hospitals worldwide, and it is the leading cause of death in intensive care units. Well, recently, researchers at the University of Saskatchewan made an important discovery that could open the door to new treatments for sepsis. One of those researchers is Dr. Scott Widenmeyer. He joins me on the line right now, an associate professor in the Department of Anatomy, Physiology, and Pharmacology at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Medicine. Dr. Widenmeyer, thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, thank you, Tamara. It's great to be here.
So why don't you just start by walking us through, for our listeners who are not aware, what is sepsis?
That's a great question. Yes. So for a long time, sepsis has been called blood poisoning or something like that. And there's literature going back to hundreds of years ago talking about this condition. But what it boils down to, and what they've been redefining over years, is it's really when the body reacts so strongly to an immune, to a bacteria or a virus, even COVID, it reacts so strongly to it that the stuff that the body's spilling out to kill the pathogen, it ends up harming our own body, and it causes organ dysfunction. Mm. And so right now, the current definition includes organ dysfunction in it. So that's really what it is. It's just, instead of killing the bacteria, it might be killing the bacteria, but also causing the heart to fail or the lungs to not transport oxygen well.
And why is this such an urgent problem in ICUs? Why has it been so dangerous and difficult to tackle?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's the number one cause of death in the intensive care unit. It has an insanely high death rate. Usually, if people come in with simple sepsis, there's about a 1 in 10 chance that they're probably going to die in the intensive care unit within 30 days. And if they come in with something called severe sepsis, or septic shock is sometimes called, it's like almost up to 50% chance.
Wow.
So just those sheer numbers itself. And then the other problem is it's so hard to understand what's driving it. And there are really no clear therapies to stop it. You just sort of give antibiotics to try to kill the bacteria. You give some supportive measures for the patient. You might have to put them on a respirator, and then you just hope for the best, that they'll come out of it and then recover.
I mentioned, Dr. Widenmeyer, that I feel like sepsis is one of those words that any family who's had a loved one in the ICU can relate to, and just hoping that they don't hear it. But how common is it actually? And I know you said we don't know exactly what drives it, but do we know who's most at risk of developing it?
Well, yeah, it's still currently people that are in their later years or very young years are the highest number of patients that get sepsis, but there's a very large growing population of people with chronic metabolic disease, especially diabetes.
Mm.
And it's thought that in the next decades that patients with type 2 diabetes are going to be the largest population to get sepsis, and that's because that condition itself predisposes them to getting infections. And then now we're learning that it may also interfere with the ability of the body to protect against the infection, which leads to sepsis and then the whole spiral.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. My mind is going in so many different directions there, but I'm trying to get back to your research, Dr. Widenmeyer. So for anybody just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Widenmeyer, who is an associate professor in the Department of Anatomy, Physiology, and Pharmacology at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Medicine. And Dr. Widenmeyer, we're speaking today because you're part of some recent research that may have answered some important questions on how we can better treat sepsis. Tell me what you are researching and what you found.
Yeah, well, thanks for the question. One thing to point out is that there is a large body of clinical scientists nationwide that are part of an organization called Sepsis Canada. And they're trying to create a way to fight against this disease. And where my area I'm trying to bring into this is most efforts are dedicated to fighting the infection itself. So, you know, come up with a new antibiotic to kill whatever this pathogen, and maybe it's Staphylococcus aureus that got into the bloodstream. But there's a growing body of work, maybe for the last 15 years, showing that if you could just help the patient not get so damaged by the septic response, not the immune reaction, things like that, you might be able to dramatically prolong the time you could spend killing the bacteria or the virus, while also mitigating or reducing the amount of organ damage you experience. And that's really where there's almost no solutions right now. So that's where my work is dedicated to. And what we've been looking at, my actual background is understanding how the body uses nutrients in an area called metabolism. And there's work showing that if you just change the way we use glucose or certain types of fats in the bloodstream, you can actually help the body survive better and to get less damage during sepsis. And that's where my work came in. We were really focused on the liver. So I think most people are familiar with the liver. And it has many, many roles, including with blood clotting, but also handling glucose and fats and cholesterol and things like that. And so we showed in our paper that the liver, if you make the liver healthier during sepsis, it'll secrete stuff that'll help the whole body do better.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, we do preclinical research. We do a lot with genetic manipulation and molecular biology. And so we have lots of interesting techniques that to us are really cool. And we make ways to make the liver express make proteins that are important for helping the liver stay healthy. And we did that by making the liver produce something called NRF1. And if it makes more NRF1, which is just a transcription factor, and it helps the body stay healthy during stress, it causes the liver to make more of something called very low density lipoprotein, which is normally not considered a healthy molecule in the bloodstream, but during sepsis we found out that it plays a really important role.
What does it usually do in the bloodstream, like outside of sepsis?
Well, I'll call it VLDL. VLDL is actually fundamentally important because it's a way to transport fats around the bloodstream. Fats by themselves, it's just like oil and water. It just sits on the top, so you have to package them. And that's what VLDL is. It's like a carrier. It moves lipids around. And so normally that's important to move energy so that the heart and muscles are able to collect energy to do what they normally need to do. But it's also been found that it might work sort of like a mop in the bloodstream, and it picks up bacteria on the way through the bloodstream, and it'll bring them back to the liver so it can be cleared into the biliary tract and basically go out with our poop.
Always appreciate any opportunity to say poop on the radio. So thank you, Dr. Wiedenmeier.
Yeah. That's what I was looking forward to, yeah. we make the liver produce more VLDL. More VLDL gets in the bloodstream, and the VLDL is somehow, we don't understand yet, is keeping the subject alive longer during sepsis. And I think that answered your question.
Wow. Okay, so Dr. Wiedenmeier, are there lessons here for how we can keep ourselves healthier to avoid getting sepsis? I know you said that the top people in the next couple decades who will be at risk of sepsis will be those with type 2 diabetes. So I feel like there's some lessons there. But is there anything else that we everyday people should be taking from your findings on how we can improve our immune system to perhaps better fight sepsis? Should that NRF1 protein and LDL, I'm forgetting what everything is called, but not be available for us when we're in the hospital?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the top thing right now is identifying the signs of sepsis. I think I've talked to a lot of clinical people in the area now, and a lot of people don't know that they have sepsis, and they just stay at home when they should be getting to the hospital. So identifying the signs of sepsis, and if they go onto the Sepsis Canada website, there's a lot of work trying to pass that knowledge around. So that's the first
thing. Can you give us a few of the most common signs right now? I'm at sepsiscanada.ca right now, so I'm throwing that out there for people. But for anybody listening and not remembering that later.
Well, for sure, the normal sickness signs if you're shivering, if you maybe have had a cut and there you see some swelling in that area, and then you actually, even besides hyperthermia, actually hypothermia, if your blood temperature is dropping, then really you should be trying to get to the hospital as soon as possible. Mm. So these are some of the signs that I think anybody can do. If you other signs of sickness, you don't feel like eating, you're just all that kind of stuff.
Like, my body is not reacting to normal things the way that it should be. It does not seem to be fighting things. It doesn't seem to be healing itself properly. Don't take any chances. Go get checked out.
Yeah, it's a good idea to get checked out. And then in terms of interventions or ways to deal with that, for sure, if you happen to have diabetes, be checking your extremities like feet and hands and signs of infection on a routine basis. Absolutely be doing that. I mean, beyond that, we kind of have to just live our normal lives, and hopefully on our end, we can come up with ways so that when you do go to the hospital, we can help improve your survival outcomes. And even, I think more importantly, is to prevent your lungs from experiencing chronic damage for the rest of your life, help your heart not experience that, and your kidneys. Your kidneys actually get damaged a lot too during sepsis.
So Dr. Widenmayer, let's bring it back then to you saving us all from sepsis. What comes next in your research, given the discovery of this protein and everything else you've been speaking about? And how far away are we from seeing treatments based on this discovery?
Well, thankfully, I'm not the only person working on this. There's lots of people working around the clock, around the world, trying to find better solutions to this. From the work that we just did, we're trying to see if we can translate this into something you could put into an IV bag. Hmm. So I kind of have this vision that I'm really fond of or in love with, is that you go into the hospital and then we find this stuff that the liver secretes into the blood, and it's actually stuff that you could put into an IV bag, and then so you have them on an IV, and then during sepsis they don't experience the organ damage, they are able to breathe better, their heart beat better, and their kidneys work better. That's kind of the hope for us.
And then just let all the other drugs fight the infection.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even in large cases, the body is able to fight against the bacteria.
Touché. It's just everything is shutting down so quickly because of the attack that it doesn't really have a chance. It's not a fair fight.
Exactly. And sometimes the body uses the bazooka when it only really needs a fly swatter. We don't know how to deal with that. And really, the deal with that would be very difficult because that's already happened before they go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm on the opposite side of that question.
All right. Dr. Scott Widenmayer, it has been a pleasure speaking with you, and very fascinating stuff coming out of your Department of Anatomy, Physiology, and Pharmacology at the University of Saskatchewan's College of Medicine. And yeah, there's other researchers doing this across Canada, but let's just pretend that you and your team are the only ones and wave that Saskatchewan flag with pride. But I will throw out that website again for anybody looking to learn more about sepsis, sepsis, canada.ca. Dr. Widenmayer, thank you very much. It's been a slice.
Thank you for this conversation, promoting our work.
Have a great day. All right. And let Dr. Widenmayer get the trophy for saying poop on the radio. There, I just did it again. Now I get a trophy. That made my day. But coming up after the break, we got a couple minutes to talk about something else coming up after the break. You'll have to wait to see what. Keep your thoughts coming in about the show to me, as always, at 1-877-332-8255. I'm Tamara Cherry, in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.